Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm sitting in today from Elvis Hedstrom, who is taking the day off, gets some other work done, as she does on Wednesdays normally, but we're glad you're with us wherever you are, and I do mean that. It's Groundhog's Day, second day of February 2022. Don't know about where you live, but Punxsutawney Field in Pennsylvania is always a shadow. We have one here in West Virginia, too, you bring out on this day, and I forget his name, but anyway, I'm sure he saw his shadow, which means six more weeks of hard weather. So hang in there. We'll get through it, I promise. But anyway, we got some reports to do in the markets. And, of course, as always, going to bring up Wendy Wilson in a minute, who's going to give you a very interesting issue to listen about today. I'm not going to spoil it for her. I want her to tell about it because it's kind of a little bit on the spooky side. But it is what it is. But back to the markets. We can start those. The Dow done fairly well today. The Dow is up 0.54%, 189 to 35,595. The Nasdaq was up 0.45%, 64.42 to 14.410. And S&P was up 0.96, 43.42 to 45.89. So some growth there today in the markets. Three of the overseas markets that we monitor here are up, and one is down. The Nikkei was up 1.68%, folks, 462 points, up to 27,533. The Hang Seng was up 1.07%, 254, up to 23,802. London FTSE was up 0.63%, 47.52, up to 75.83. And Germany was up, went down. It was down 0.4%. Down 562 to 15,613. So not a big change on that, but it was down. Gold and the metals had an up day today, finally, thank goodness. Gold back over 1,800, up 490 to 18,1350. Silver's an up day, still not below the 23 mark, but getting back up to it. Up 11 cents, 22.76. Platinum had a decent day, up 11.85 to 10,5113. And palladium had a great day. Up 25.95 to 24.07.75. So the metals had an up day today. We'll see what that means. Used to be, folks, metals up. We knew other things were down. But now it doesn't work that way longer. So I don't know how to be able to figure this out, but it is what it is. And the 10-year yield was up 1.77%. Up to 1.77. Oil had a jump. Is up a little bit, 88.36. We're banging on the $100 mark, folks. They're saying we're going to $100 this year, and I'm convinced we are. So we're up over $80 and for a barrel of oil. So we'll see what happens in the markets tomorrow. The markets, I don't know how to even read me longer. Used to be certain things you knew were going to upset them, and some things would boost them. It doesn't work that way any longer. But let's go to our guest waiting in the wings, Wendy Wilson, with Apothecary Herbs. Is going to share with you some information today that I think you'll find interesting and maybe a little bit spooky. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Butch. Always good to be with you.
You too. Come right on in.
Well, we're going to talk about the Band-Aid vaccine. Now it's gone to trials, clinical trials. Now, I reported about this in February and then again in September in 2020. And these are microneedles that they put on a Band-Aid patch. Some of the Band-Aid patches now are about the size of the tip of your index finger, so they're very small, and they can fit 400 microneedles on that Band-Aid. And it's been in development as a vaccine delivery vehicle for a few years. So we also reported that 4D printing of these patches with these 400 microneedles is also being developed. Science has been working on this for over a decade. So your 4D printing uses what are called smart materials, which are programmed to change their shape after they're printed. So we're told that the material used in a fourth dimension type material, and this material can morph after printing, which I think is very creepy. We're also being told it can alter but it's used as a delivery vehicle for vaccines. And what they've done with this is a kind of Bill Gates has been involved in this microneedle vaccine Band-Aid delivery system for a while. And what they did is they put the vaccine serum in the microneedles, and then certain select needles will get behind the serum will get a tattoo ink. So after the vaccine is delivered into the skin, then the tattoo will drop down. And you won't be able to see this tattoo with a naked eye, but it would be seen under a scan of infrared or black light. So it's kind of a mark, if you get my drift.
I wonder how that ties in scripture. Ha, ha, ha. Of course it does, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, and they call this quantum tattoo patches of vaccines, and these quantum tattoo patches are going to store your medical history. This is a journal article from the Journal of Geopolitical and International Relations that was published back in September of 2020. The research was supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and also MIT scientists were also publishing how this works in their Journal of Science and Translational Medicine. So what they did is use some copper quantum dots to create what they call an on-patient medical record. So the copper dots emit light in the near-infrared spectrum. The dots are also encapsulated in a biocompatible microparticle forming a sphere of 20 microns in diameter. So that's pretty small. So this keeps the dye in place and hidden under your skin. And it looks like the human trials are now underway for these microneedle vaccine patches. So I thought we would talk about this and kind of recap some of the interesting points on this type of research and testing.
Sounds very interesting. It really does.
Yeah, I don't know if the dots, the dye, the tattoo ink, if you will, I don't know if it's going to be a symbol. I don't know if it's going to be a number. We'll just have to find out. But here is a quote from the Journal of Geopolitics and International Relations in September of 2020. They said, Bill Gates and MIT researchers have discovered a clandestine way to record your vaccination history, store the data in a dye pattern or tattoo ink that is invisible to the naked eye and is all hidden in a vaccine. End of quote. Also, a journal article, Advanced Functional Materials, also said, our 4D printing tiny needles can replace the standard hypodermic needles. And we think 4D printed microneedles will allow for a robust and sustainable use with minimal pain and ease of use. That was a professor of Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering, Dr. Howen Lee. Also, this was from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. They said this in May 2012. The new technology, manufacture of microneedles for intracellular injection to deliver drugs, fully dissolve in the skin. This is an implantable programmable polymer. These are multi-walled carbon nanotubes. If microneedles are removed from the skin, micron scale holes remain in the skin until medical resealing of the pores is done. Resealing is recommended to avoid the likelihood of infection, mild skin irritation, swelling, and edema is expected.
So what you're saying here is, if you had the Band-Aid, you have to have your skin resealed?
That's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
it really is insane.
I know. Wow. They're small microneedles. Why would you need resealing? You probably couldn't even see the holes. But anyway, the University of Pittsburgh also presented this fingertip-sized bandage containing a vaccine that is clear and so light that most people wouldn't bat an eyelash. The research also on this fingertip bandage was published in the August 2020 Journal of The Lancet. So can you imagine being in the hospital or a nursing home and someone just comes and slaps a Band-Aid on you? And you wouldn't know what happened.
No,
yeah.
You wouldn't.
This is from the University of Pittsburgh. Their medical center and their life-changing medical division said August 2020, an array of 400 tiny needles on a fingertip-sized patch deliver spike protein pieces into the skin where the immune system is strongest. The patch is applied like a Band-Aid and the needles, which are made of sugar and protein, will dissolve into the skin. End of quote.
Wow.
It just gets weirder because they had some study problems in the beginning. Microneedles in their research weren't without problems. The needles were not doing well staying in the skin. Here's a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine report. They say, they have a weak adhesion, which is a problem if you want to control drug delivery. The weak adhesion is also a problem for biosensing to detect DNA enzymes, antibodies, or other indicators. So science is continuing to work with this type of delivery system. They say it's for people too afraid to get an injection, children especially. So, you know, this is only for your benefit, right, Pastor Butch? Making injections more comfortable is one of the advertised attributes for the new microneedle therapy. So the technology is being planned for dermatology treatments, eye treatments, insulin therapy, drug rehab, blood vessel treatments, and a whole lot more. So it's not just for vaccines. So just think, you could be, just at the hospital visiting somebody, and somebody just walks up and you may not even notice the Band-Aid being applied. Some of the side effects that they noticed from the microneedle patch were bleeding, swelling, fluid retention, that's that edema, bruising, infection, peeling, scarring, and pigment problems. So apparently the skin and underlying tissue doesn't like microneedles, no matter how small, especially if they remain in the skin for several days delivering the vaccine serum. Healing after microneedles, any kind of drug therapy, can take, they say, 6 weeks. So to cut down on the possibility of infection, new research in 2019, they decided to try using silver-coated microneedles. Here's another quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine. They say, using quantum dots to target COVID-19 with increased drug release profiles, caution should be exercised, they say, to avoid renal infiltration and other side effects. Now, renal is your kidneys. So if something with the kidneys are going on there. So here we are with human trials. Research on the small Band-Aid microneedle vaccine patches have now begun. They started January the 10th, 2022. So they're in the human trial stage, and it's being conducted in Switzerland, and they're using the COVID-19 vaccine. So the difference here is that the serum they're packing into the microneedles, they say, will not access RNA technology, but will be based on cellular immunity and antibody action. They have 26 volunteers who have been given two doses, with the second dose being a little stronger. And the volunteers will have be evaluated for the next 6 months, they said. And these microneedle vaccine patches have been developed by a British pharmaceutical company called Emergex Vaccines. They hope to release these to the public in 2025. They didn't elaborate on dye markers or microchips in that report. So I want people to be aware that this technology is moving forward, and you can hardly keep up with it, can you, Pastor Butch?
Well, you know, it's really – just think how much it's gained just in the last few years.
Right.
I mean, yeah. we're not talking about 100 years. We're talking about the last few years. I mean – we know that the jab literally changes your DNA and takes the name of God out of your DNA.
Right.
And, you know, 50 years ago, they knew what DNA was.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's amazing. And now Israel is inventing a machine that can take your take a hair. You lose a hair at, say, the crime scene. They can take the DNA out of that hair. And I think, like, half the time, they can reproduce your face out from that DNA.
Whoa. So they can't really pinpoint DNA at all, then, really.
Well, they can take the DNA that you, the hair that you lost and be able to see your face with it. Having that design of your face, they'll need a facial recognition then.
Wow. Well,
it all ties together.
Know,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, now a lot of Americans, though, I see now are waking up to what's going on here, and they're starting to question the treatments. and they're starting to stand up against it and all the lockdown stuff. And their planning that has really gone into this whole event has had to been massive and taken decades to plan and produce. So just stand your ground, honor your conscience, because your conscience is, if it's not yet seared, it's connected to God. Am I right, Pastor Butch?
That's right.
Yep. That's right. So if you look in the Bible speaks of a seared conscience, right? The conscience is a God-given moral consciousness within each of us. And if the conscience is seared, it literally is catheterized. Well, then it's, think about
That's
something
true.
Being seared with a hot poker, you know? So it's been rendered insensitive. Your conscience becomes apathetic and insensitive. Such a conscience really does not work properly. And it's as if the spiritual scar tissue there has dulled the sense of right and wrong for that person. So, reprobate minds, you know.
That's right. And,
so,
you know, and people take that, they read it and take it lightly. No, this is, it's a true statement. When God gives you a reprobate mind, you're finished. You're done. You have no hope.
Yeah, I don't think you can come back from that.
No, you can't. No,
he's
can't.
Kind of written you off at that point. And there's lots of examples in the Bible where God does that. He turns people over, you know, to their own lusts and all their desires. And he says, okay, have it your way. And, of course, that way it leads to death. So just stand your ground. There's a lot of people pushing back. God, you know, what's happening in Australia and Canada, poor people in panic, Canada, if you don't have a vaccine certificate, you can't even shop without having being shadowed by a babysitter now to get only
That's
groceries.
True. That's
it's
true.
Crazy. And then I heard people in Australia, they got drones patrolling the streets. So if you go to the library, drop off a book, and somebody comes down with COVID while you were there, then they let you know you got to quarantine for an additional 2 weeks.
Yep.
So it's insane.
It
really
is insane. It really is.
There's
insane.
No independence or liberty under such a system as that.
Unfortunately, we're seeing this close in more every day.
Yep, it's like I said, it's taken massive planning for this, massive planning, and it's all for the financial reset. So they're going to create this financial chaos, and then they're going to have somebody come in and fix it all. Somebody that we all know as who?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Yeah.
Antichrist, absolutely.
Antichrist, yeah. So you know. Yeah, it's so when they say this is a on-site medical history, so your quantum dot dye will mark you as having this particular vaccine, and that's your medical history. So, well, visit us at thepowerherbs.com or give us a call at 866-229-3663. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Melody. Thank you so much, Wendy. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Folks, back to the break. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back, and this is Pastor Butch Paul sitting in today from Melody Cederstrom with Financial Survival, and you need to give her a call, and I do mean that. Call and ask her some questions about finances. You'd be surprised what this lady knows at 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. Now, I don't know if you all knew this or not, but we hit a new milestone, a rather sobering milestone, I think you would say. I'm sure there's still an understatement of what the real number is, but it says national debt surpasses $30 trillion for the first time. Wow. Total public debt outstanding is now above $30 trillion, according to the Treasury Department data published Tuesday. Government borrowing accelerated during the COVID-19 pandemic as Washington spent aggressively to cushion the economic blow from the crisis. The national debt has surged by about $7 trillion since the end of 2019. And folks, part of that was under Trump's watch, you know that. But $30 trillion, this is my opinion, I think I can back it up, this is way, way low. They don't count all the factors in this. I won't get into it right now. They don't count all the factors into this. But $30 trillion, folks, is a number that's so big that no nation, not the whole world, can even pay that back. But that's what we are. That's where we are today. And that's why you're paying more for everything in the store, because the debt grows and grows and grows. And so does the inflation rate. It is. It's just happening. It is. And this next article, I think, is, it is what it is. The die-off is here. Life insurance payouts skyrockets 258% as post-vaccine deaths rapidly accelerate. Let's let that sink in a second. Payouts of life insurance companies have skyrocketed 258% as post-vaccine deaths rapidly accelerate. This is on Natural News, folks, a very good source. In a little-known Reuters story, garnered almost no attention in the corporate media, Dutch insurer Aegon revealed its third quarter 2021 life insurance payouts skyrocketed 258% compared to third quarter 2020 payouts. The difference, of course, is found in COVID vaccines. In 2020, vaccines were not yet available, so payouts for Aegon only reached 31 million. But after three quarters of aggressive vaccinations throughout 2021, the death benefit payouts hit 111 million, an increase of 258%. Just stop a second and think about that. Dutch insurer Aegon, which does two-thirds of its business in the United States, said its claims in the Americas in the third quarter were 111 million, up from 31 million a year earlier. U.S. insurance MetLife and Prudential Financial also said life insurance claims rose. South Africa's Old Mutual used up more of its pandemic provisions to pay claims and reinsure. Muni Re raised its 2021 estimate of COVID-19 life and death claims to 600 million euros from 400 million. Insurance companies are slowly coming to realize the truth about COVID vaccines, even as a complicit, murderous mainstream tries to cover up the accelerating deaths. The death signals now emerging in the finance of insurance companies can simply be swept under the rug. And given that 250% increase was recorded for quarter three, 2021, it begs the obvious question, how much worse will be the rise for Q4 2021 or Q1 2022? On any normal pre-COVID day in America, about 7,700 people die. If those deaths rise by 100%, that means an extra 7,700 people are dying each day. Multiply that over 1 year, it's an additional 2.8 million deaths. Note this is merely for a 100% increase, folks. Only 100%. Argonne is reporting a 250% increase in payouts on its life insurance policies, although Argonne doesn't insure the entire country. Obviously, this data point should be raising alarms among those people paying attention. We start to consistently see something like 200% increase in all cause mortality. That would mean an extra 15,000 people plus are dying each day in America. That's a vaccine holocaust playing out in real time. Wow, folks. If we're up 100%, it would mean there'd be about 15,000 people dying a year. But this is up 258%. And this is just through last year. I'm anxious to see what this next quarter of this year is going to be, which will be through the end of March. We'll see. It's just amazing, folks, how this is. I know the news says, well, they're dying because they didn't have a vaccine, but that is not true. 80% of those going to the hospital now have been vaccinated, 80%. It's even higher in countries like Israel. This should tell us something about the vaccines and their effectiveness and the lies that we've been told about how we should have them and how dangerous COVID is. This is phenomenal. Different topic. Canada's Freedom Convoy truckers block Key Mountain crossing route for beef and farm equipment to protest Trudeau's vaccine mandates. Prime Minister isolates with COVID in undisclosed location and refuses to meet with protesters. Freedom Convoy truckers and protesters continue late Monday to block a border crossing to the U.S., a village in southern Alberta, one of the country's busiest border crossings, in solidarity with their brethren in Ottawa who have shut down the nation's capital. Motorists traveling across the border between Montana and Alberta have been caught in blockade of vax vehicles that have essentially shut down the highway south of the city of Lethbridge, Alberta, 65 miles to the Canada-U.S. border crossing in the village of Coates. Despite being 2,000 miles away from Ottawa, the demonstration is related directly to what is happening in the Canadian capital, where protests are running into a fourth day against Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and COVID-19 vaccine mandates, which require unvaccinated truckers to get a PCR test and quarantine. Earlier Monday, Trudeau declared he will not be meeting with the truckers currently overrunning Ottawa in the protest of his vaccine mandate because of their hateful rhetoric. I got a comment on that. Hateful rhetoric? I have seen none of that. Now, I've seen videos of the truckers. I've seen no hateful rhetoric from the truckers at all. None. The news media have been telling lies. The Canadian media and American media have been telling lies about these people. And sometime, hopefully soon, on my broadcast, I'll have a trucker that's in these places bringing forth frontline news. But back to the article. Almost 2,000 miles west of Ottawa, hundreds of truckers are protesting, having convened at the southernmost. The truckers in Alberta were met with backlash from local law enforcement, who ordered the drivers to put their rigs in gear and stop blocking trucks and other international commuters from crossing the currently gridlocked border. The drivers stationed along the border have refused to budge from the major artery for commercial goods between the nations. Canadian trucker John Schwartz was caught up in it for 40 hours while making for coming back from Idaho. These guys are basically holding us hostage, and nobody's doing anything about it. Canadian trucker John Schwartz, who was stuck in a blockade for 40 hours. By Monday afternoon, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police said some vehicles were being allowed to leave the traffic jam, but the border was still blocked. And the trucker, Schwartz, said that they are holding us hostage. This is unpleasant. This really is unpleasant. There's no way around it not being unpleasant. I know that. It's unpleasant. But sometimes taking a stand for what's right can be unpleasant at the moment. And everyone that you have to deal with will not like what you're doing. Even during the American Revolution, about 3% of people stood for liberty. The rest, most of them didn't care. The rest, a percentage-wise, fought against the revolution. But most people didn't like it because it inconvenienced their lifestyles. That's what's happening right here. It's inconvenient, folks, to stand for what's right sometimes. It's inconvenient to have to go against what many people think you should be doing. It's really inconvenient. But don't ever think that freedom and liberty is free. It's not. It's going to cost somebody something. If we don't maintain it by strength and the will of the good people in the country, it comes to a point like this where somebody's going to say enough is enough. It's going to be very inconvenient for a lot of people. And here's an item that you might want to consider. 150 meat trucks stranded at U.S.-Canadian border as protests continue. 150 meat trucks, tractor trailers full of meat. The U.S. is Canada's largest exporter. I'm sorry, one more time. The U.S. is Canada's largest export buyer for beef and Canada's largest importer supplier. Any disruption to the meat trade between both countries would have a severe consequences for meat processors in Canada and consumers in the U.S. Days after the Freedom Convoy truckers protesting vaccine mandates in Ottawa, the country's capital, protests are spreading to U.S.-Canadian border crossings and furthering logistical headaches. Bloomberg reports 150 trucks packed with beef bound for the U.S. are stuck in a traffic jam at the border of Coutts, Alberta. The Canadian Meat Council said, since the weekend, a convoy of truckers has slowed processing time between Alberta and Montana. 150 truckloads of beef. I don't know how much that is, but I say it's enough to supply a lot of stores and make a big difference in a supermarket when you want to go buy beef. You heard Melody say last week before last, she went to buy a beef roast where she lives, couldn't find any. And she finally found one the other day. One out of three stores finally had it. This will affect us, folks. It is affecting us. Maybe we haven't seen it just yet. It takes a little bit for the supply chain to empty out. But this will affect us. And I still say God bless Ottawa truckers, the Canadian truckers. God bless them. I mean, God bless them. Now, if you want to know how unruly people can be, and I said this, I think, on Monday's broadcast, that when people that will say we're going to stores without good intention, maybe we'll say going to shoplift, steal something, buy, steal food, whatever, when they go into the store and can't find anything worthwhile stealing because it's not on the shelves, they'll get nasty. They're nasty already. What's going to stop them getting nastier? A massive brawl breaks out in Ben Salem Golden Corral over alleged steak shortage. I'm not making this up. This is in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. I don't know where that's at exactly, but it's in Pennsylvania. It's CBS News. A Friday night out turned into a melee in Ben Salem at a Golden Corral restaurant. Now, police are trying to figure out how it started. A former employee of the restaurant says he was told the fight may have happened after a customer became enraged when the buffet ran out of steak. Wow. Videos shared with Eyewitness News shows punches being thrown and high chairs flying as a fight breaks out inside the Golden Corral in Ben Salem Friday evening. Ben Salem police confirmed the brawl may have involved more than 40 people and happened following an argument among some customers. Officers are still looking into what caused the argument. I've never seen nothing like that in Golden Corral before, former employee Dylan Becker said. Becker, who used to work at the Ben Salem Golden Corral, says he was told by a current employee about the initial altercation. But what I heard was over a steak. Apparently somebody cut in line, Becker said. His friend heard the same details. There was a shortage of steak, and two parties were involved, and one family cut in front of the other family. They were taking their time, and they ran out of steak and got into a heated exchange at the tables. Wow. In the video, a man is heard saying all wanted was some steak. They're fighting in restaurants over because they ran out of steak. Folks, they're not even hungry yet. What's going to happen if people get hungry? What's going to happen then? If it's getting that nasty in a restaurant because they ran out of steak at a Golden Corral restaurant, what's going to happen when the supermarkets can't get it? I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer, but let's just face reality, folks. This is reality. This is happening. What I've shared already today, the 150 truckloads of meat they're not making across the border, and what's happening with in the Golden Corral. This is all facts. This is not make-believe. This is not any kind of exaggeration of truth. This is happening, and it's not doom and gloom. It's a fact. You know, telling somebody their house is on fire is kind of doom and gloomy, but the house is on fire, and especially if they're in it, they're going to know it, aren't they? But this, the Freedom Convoy in Canada is actually now, folks, starting to reach into Europe and Australia. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's starting to spread across the world. Canada's anti-COVID mandate movement, sparked by the truckers, has gone global with convoys spotted in Netherlands, Germany, Italy, and Australia. Wow. That is great. The newly formed European Freedom Convoy released a unifying statement on Sunday, outlining their plan to rally in Brussels and occupy the city until all COVID restrictions are lifted. This is not about a vax or anti-vax. It's about people's right to choose, the group said. Hey, man, this is not about politics. This is about the freedom of the human race. This is in addition to protests already sweeping across the Dutch nation. According to the group Telegram Post, convoys are also being organized in the United States, France, Finland, and Czechoslovakia. Meanwhile, Australians, who have endured some of the harshest COVID restrictions in the world, are mobilizing their own Freedom Convoy. The Australian Freedom Convoy already raised over $150,000 on GoFundMe to support their journey and occupation of Australia's capital of Canberra, which they announced will take place on January 31st. That's already started, I guess. And where is the mainstream media coverage of these unprecedented and historic developments? They're blaming the Freedom Convoy movement on Russia. They're blaming a convoy on Russia. Somebody tell me how that ties together. But you see, doing what's right, taking a stand can be contagious. It can spread to other people. So it just takes somebody to lead the way. If somebody will lead the way and say enough is enough, then this will help. This will get the thing moving worldwide. And folks, the economy is going to suffer because of this. There's no doubt about it. We're all going to suffer because of this. But sometimes suffering is necessary to make what's right happen. I know that isn't pleasant to say, but it is what it is. And this does affect us financially. If you don't believe me, go to the store again and look at the food prices. I was talking to a young fellow today, done some work here in the office for us, and he said no matter how many hours he works now, and he gets quite a bit overtime, I have a hard time making every month because the prices go up so rapidly that it's taking everything I make extra. And I understand what he's saying. I do. I live pretty much on fixed incomes. I know what he's saying. It does make it harder. So he works overtime to pay the bills, and he ends up breaking even at the end of the month. This is happening. It's going to get much worse, and it ain't going to get any better, folks, in the very near future. That's why you need to call Melody at 800-375-4188. And ask her some questions about how to preserve what wealth you may have. Think about these things, folks. Don't just shrug them off. Don't throw them this wayside and think this is insanity. What I'm telling you right now is happening worldwide. And it's coming home to roost for us eventually. It already has. After the break, we'll discuss some other things going on here, so don't y'all go away. Don't you lay it on the line. I need to hear it just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of today's broadcast. This is Pastor Rich Paul sitting in for Melody Cederstrom with Financial Survival. I won't say enjoying the news, but I hope it's helping you understand what's happening. I really do. And would you believe, last month, companies unexpectedly cut 301,000 jobs in January. Now let that sink in a minute. Remember how they kept saying everybody's begging for workers? Companies are starting to cut workers. Companies cut jobs in January for the first time in more than a year as the spread of a COVID Omicron variant appeared to hit hiring, payroll processing from firm ADP reported Wednesday. Private payrolls fell about 301,000 for the month, well below the Dow Jones estimate for growth of 200,000, and a marked plunge from the downwardly revised 776,000 gain in December. It was the first time ADP reported negative job growth since December 2020. The pandemic-sensitive leisure and hospitality industry was responsible for more than half of the decline, as companies reported a drop of 154,000. Trade, transportation, and utilities cut 62,000, while the other services category declined by 23,000. Manufacturing also lost 21,000 positions, while education and health services reported a downturn of 15,000, and construction fell by 10,000. Service providing industries were responsible for 274,000 of the job losses, with goods producers falling 27,000. So last month, remember how they kept sending jobs? People wouldn't find jobs, and now these industries that were hard, that there were people going back to, are cutting people. They're blaming Omicron. I don't think that's it, folks. Not for a minute. I don't. Why would these people be cutting jobs when it's caused somebody sick? I mean, they would be hiring, I would think, if somebody's out to try to replace them. But nonetheless, the job market fell last month, contrary to what we've been hearing in this country for over a year. It's starting to go back into the doldrums again, and we'll see what happens next. And a long time ago, I know Millie reporting this, robots marched on in 2021 with a record ordered by North American firms. Robots are moving in where people used to work. Robots don't get sick, folks. They may break down. They can fix them. They don't demand vacation pay or sick pay. They don't demand overtime. They just do the job. More robots joined the U.S. workforce last year than ever before, taking on jobs from plucking bottles and cans off conveyor belts at the trash recycling plants to putting small consumer goods in the cardboard boxes and e-commerce warehouses. It looks like still more robots will come in 2022. Companies across North America laid out more than $2 billion for almost 40,000 robots in 2021 to help them contend with record demand and pandemic-fueled labor shortage. Robots went to work in a growing number of industries, expanding well beyond their historic surge in the automotive sector. With human labor, what they produce depends on if they're hungry, or are they tired, or have they had their coffee, said Brian Tu, Chief Revenue Officer for DCL Logistics in Fremont, California, which started installing robots on e-commerce fulfillment lines during the pandemic. Robots are dependably fast and do not take breaks. Well, I guess It is what it is. I mean, it is. I mean, as I said, robots don't need brakes. If you break down, they can be fixed. But they don't generally take breaks. They don't get sick. They don't take vacation, like I said. They don't need anything like that. Just give them a little bit of grease and oil and keep them running, they'll go for a long, long time. That's, folks, that's what's happening. Jobs are being lost already. In this first part of this year, in January, lost 301,000 jobs. That's a lot of workers, is it not? And we know we talked about the last few months about how shipping prices have went through the roof, especially on the sea, the containers on the sea, and how much the price has gone up to ship products on the sea. Well, we should have figured this. Shipping giants under fire for record profits. Fees as pandemic continues. Think about this. Shipping giants have come under fire from U.S. business groups and watchdogs for raking in record-breaking profits on the backs of skyrocketing prices driven by unprecedented port congestion. Each of the largest ocean carriers saw their profits more than triple. Let this sink in, folks. Each of the largest ocean carriers who were griping about the cost of shipping going up and up and up saw their profits more than triple over the last year, according to research from liberal watchdog group Accountable U.S., which noted that all of the firms upped their prices substantially amid surging demand. The industry, which is dominated by a handful of large freight companies, is currently lobbying senators to reject a bipartisan House pass bill that aims to crack down on anti-competitive shipping practices, which carriers argue would only worsen supply chain issues. Many highly profitable industries are using the pandemic as an excuse to gouge consumers or tack on sky-high fees, and the shipping industry is no exception. Accountable U.S. President Cal Hurry said in a statement, folks, I think that's obvious. If they triple their profits by raising the price on shipping, obviously they're gouging the people. Despite shattering previous profit records last year, big shippers are trying to convince Congress that the abusively high fees are essential even as they fan the flames of inflation. New contracts with carriers to transport goods are roughly twice as expensive as they were in 2020 when the pandemic momentarily caused demand to drop off. With the U.S. now importing roughly three times as many goods as it sends out, and with clogged ports forcing ships to wait weeks to unload the shipments, there's never been so much more demand for ocean carriers. Such circumstances have led to record profits. Denmark-based carrier Maersk expects to report $24 billion in 2021 earnings before taxes and depreciation, triple its 2020 haul. Shanghai-based Costco Shipping reports $14 billion in annual profits, nine times its 2020 earnings, and Germany's Hapag-Lloyd AG said Tuesday that its pre-tax income more than quadrupled, $12.8 billion last year. Experts say that rising transportation costs contribute to soaring U.S. inflation because they get passed down, as we always say, to the consumers. Consumers' prices climbed 7% in 2021, the largest increase in roughly four decades, according to Labor Department data. The folks, you and I both know that's over 20%. Over 20%. But as we've been saying for months, these costs are passed down to the consumer. These shipping companies must make a profit. But the triple and quadruple their profits because of the so-called COVID nonsense and because they have to shed imports, then the price of shipping went up, but they still quadrupled, some of them, their profits. There's something quite wrong with that. Something just doesn't taste right in that, does it? To see a company quadruple at the expense of the consumer. Profits are important, and I'm all for profits. Businesses must have profits. But this is profiteering. This is thievery. But this is what's happening in the world today. And you'll notice it, again, at your grocery stores and your hardware stores, your furniture stores. You'll notice that here, I'm sure, already are. Different topic, but I think something that's really a sad thing to report, but it is what it is. 77% tested at Baltimore High School read at elementary level, some at kindergarten level. Wow. I-ready assessments are given to all Baltimore City schools to help determine at which grade level a student is performing in math and reading. The scores are not made public. The media requested him. The district would redact most of the results, but Project Baltimore obtained the results for all the students tested at Patterson High School. In reading, 628 Patterson High School students took the test. Out of those students, 484 of them, or 77%, tested at elementary school reading level. That includes 71 high school students who were reading at a kindergarten level and 88 students reading at a first grade level. Another 45 were reading at a second grade level, and just 12 students tested at Patterson High School were reading at a grade level, which comes out just to 1.9%. Folks, these are the children that's being trained to run the country. Education is dying. Education is no longer important anymore. They just want robots to obey. But back to the article. Project Baltimore asked how a student who reads at elementary school level could reach high school. They're pushed through, replied the teacher. They're not ready for the workforce. They're not ready for further education. When asked if it's social promotion, the teacher replied, yes. Baltimore City Schools has a one-fail policy which states students cannot be retained a second time prior to ninth grade. That means students who go to the next grade, no matter how little work they've completed. North Avenue has pointed to studies showing that students learn better with grade-level peers, saying multiple retention would be a last resort for students. So they pass one through no matter what because they want to get them out of their hair. And if they don't pass them, of course, then that gives the school a bad name. So no matter whether they can read or not, reason or not, do math or not, they're passed on through. Do you understand why the nation is falling apart in so many different ways? Academically, folks, we are about the bottom of the list in the nations of this world. And that's just the way it is. And this is, I think, my mind be bad news for Montana. Montana, pay attention. San Francisco's residents flocking to Montana as demand has exploded. I guess it's good for Montana in a sense to have more taxpayers and different things, but to bring in the San Francisco ideas of how to run their cities and governments, folks, I don't think that's a good idea. The great exodus out of California continues. Specifically, in today's episode, we note that people from San Francisco are flocking to Montana, which has seen a 140% increase from Fog City when comparing total moves from 2018, 2019, and 2020, 2021. So they had a 140% increase over the last couple of years from San Francisco to Montana. Wow. I have a vacation rental in Bozeman, said Bozeman real estate broker Kansas Dorsch, who spent years selling vacation homes to Bay Area residents and says that demand from the Bay Area has exploded. It became slam booked for the entire summer. Buyers were making phone calls. Buyers were buying properties sight unseen to get out of the Bay Area. It really happened in the very beginning, and has never really stopped. Wow. Wow. Think about that, folks. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. 140% increase going into Montana. Oh, by the way, here's some other states getting an influx. Utah, 86%. West Virginia, right here where I live, has been losing population, 85%. Texas, this is from San Francisco and California area. Texas, 82%. Idaho, 72%. Maine, 66%. Kansas, 64%. Hawaii, 63%. Rhode Island, 55%. And Florida, 51%. I don't want to sound rude, but I mean, if they come here to live as we live and respect our culture and live our lives the way I'd like to be living from here for years, that's great. Welcome. But don't come in and try to citify us, okay? We're not going to let that happen. We don't want that here. I just saw this to it. By the way, remember last week we reported that California was going to pass a single care health bill that would increase the tax on people about another $163 billion a year, or about I think like $24,000 per family or something to pay for single care health care. With that bill did not pass the Senate in California. Finally, the Senate in California made a wise decision. AB 1400 did not pass, and Californians, you really got blessed on that one. Thank goodness you got a few people in your Senate with some common sense. I mean, that is wonderful. That is phenomenal. Speech therapists, 364% surge in baby and toddler referrals thanks to mask wearing. Oh, wow. Jacqueline Trick told WPBF News that before the pandemic, only 5% of the patients were babies and toddlers, but this has soared to 20%. Parents are describing the children's speech problems as COVID delayed, with face coverings the primary cause for the speaking skills being seriously impaired. As young as 8 months old, babies start learning how to speak by reading lips, a thankless task if parents and carers smother themselves with masks to comply with mandates. It's very important that kids do see your face to learn, so they're watching your mouth, said Thiek. The news report featured one such mother, Brian Brenna Gay, who is raising 5 children but having speech problems with the youngest. It definitely makes a difference when the world you're growing up in, you can't interact with the people and their face. That's super important for babies. No doubt. According to Thiek, since the pandemic, autism symptoms are also skyrocketing. They're not making any word attempts and not communicating at all with the family, she said. Folks, that's just so sad. Because we've fallen into this maze, and IQ points have dropped 22 points. A study by researchers at Brown University found that the mean IQ scores of young children born during the pandemic have tumbled by as much as 22 points, while verbal, motor, and cognitive performance have all suffered as a result of lockdown. That's America today. That's America Day, folks. Prepare yourself for tomorrow, because it's coming. Are you ready for it or not? It's coming. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Call Melody up. Talk to her. Ask her some questions. Ask how you prepare. At least protect yourself and family a little bit for what's coming in the future, folks. This nation this year, the world, but this nation is going to see a lot of things change this year. And I don't think for the good. But we'll all see you back here on Friday with Melody. Melody, see you tomorrow with Dave. So have a great night and good night.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.